Hello, everyone. Yesterday, we talked about sex and character on Otto Weininger. Today, we're talking about sex and culture and J.D. Unwin, who looked like this. Now, Unwin looked across 80 different societies. In fact, it was 86 in total, across 5,000 years of recorded history, and systematically studied sexual regulation. And then, based on his studies, derived some conclusions about the nature of the regulation of sex and the survival of cultures. He argues that there is a central correlation between a direct and consistent relationship between the sexual opportunity a society permits and the cultural energy it displays. The fundamental principle is this: the less sexual opportunity is permitted, particularly before marriage, the higher the society's creative and expansive achievement. The correlation, Unwin argued, held without exception across every single civilization, 86 in total, that he examined. Absolute monogamy produces the highest energy, according to Unwin. Societies exhibiting the greatest creativity and expansive energy enforce two conditions simultaneously: lifelong exclusive sexual pairing and strict prenuptial chastity. Together, these generated what Unwin termed maximum cultural energy. So you, on the one hand, you've got husband-wife marriage, absolute monogamy, one partner for life, no exceptions. On the other, no sex before marriage. Sexual abstinence required before marriage for both sexes. And this, he argues, produces cultural energy, civilizational creativity, expansion and achievement. Now, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here, because or not a tangent, but I think it's worth pausing to consider what he's talking about and to take seriously. This is not on the face of it, this looks like a kind of puritanical kind of fuddy-duddy argument, you know, about abstinence or chastity or something like this. But actually, over on my academic agent mindset channel, so I have a side channel here on YouTube, Academic Agent Mindset, I've talked about the need to, you know, cut away various addictions that you have. And also, I've talked about specifically not engaging in pornography or masturbation, that this is for men, for young men in particular, very good to rid yourself of any consumption of pornography, and also exercising extreme self-control and restraint. Try not to masturbate either. Okay. Now, why do I say to do this, right? Now, on the one hand, pornography is very, you know, it fills your mind full of horrible images, and, you know, it can kind of reprogram you in all sorts of ways that you're not. So that's one reason to do it. But it's not the only reason. The second reason is because if you practice this, okay, and if you abstain for a given period of time, you will feel that your creative energy starts peaking, that the energy that you would have expended on doing that instead gets transmuted into other things, into making things, into building things, into doing things, into projects, into enthusiasm, into all, you know, it kind of does that. Okay. Now, this is something that you won't know to be real until you've done it. So until you've experienced that in and of yourself, okay, you won't know it to be true. And let's come back to Unwin. What Unwin, in effect, is talking about is that phenomenon that I was just discussing, aggregated up on a societal level. If you have lots of men who are exercising that kind of level of self-control, they will together have much more creative, abundant energy to do amazing things like build cathedrals, for example, or build cities, or invent stuff, or, you know, come up with the motor car, or whatever it happens to be. They will have more of that, okay? Because the energy cannot be created, right? But it can be exchanged. That energy has to go somewhere. It has to go somewhere. Okay, so one place that it can go, of course, is towards chasing women. But if you, and if the society in general, and if she dictates no sex before marriage, then even the pursuit of that lady will have to come out in a form where you truly win her over through through a non-sexual means, okay? Because the promise of the thing, which is being denied, in this case sex, is being withheld. So it's about, you know, delayed gratification finally, and that's why the wedding night was meant to be such a big deal, you know, finally getting your chance, okay? It was all building up to that. But the lengths that the young man will go to in order for that is extremely powerful, okay? So that's on the one hand. But then on the other hand, let's say, you know, that is not available, or I don't know. I mean, there are all sorts of scenarios, okay, that could come up. I mean, you could think of the classic monk as one example, but there are many other scenarios. I mean, let's say you have a married man who, for whatever reason, has to travel abroad for his work, okay, or he's away with the wars or something, or whatever reason, okay, he's separated. Now he has a vow of to keep monogamous with his partner, and then therefore that means that during that time he has to maintain chastity. Okay, that means that energy needs to go somewhere. And the other place it can be channeled, if it's not pursuing a young lady, is into all of the, you know, is into those sorts of pursuits. And this is the Unwin argument in a nutshell. I've taken a rather long time to explain it, but I wanted to make sure that you absolutely know what he's talking about and how it works both on the microcosm, that is on the individual level of your own life as per academic agent mindset, but also on the macrocosmic level of the entire society. This is a good point to pause to remind you that it is still July. That means promo code Scorcher. I'm going to play the ad, and when we come back, we're going to find out more from Unwin about how important these principles are for successful civilizations and cultures. It's the Academic Agency Summer Sale. Use the promo code Scorcher. 25% off all courses. Scorcher. Get it now. Scorcher. 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 Promo code Scorcher. 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 Buy it now. All right, so let's continue. Prenuptial chastity is a decisive variable, according to Unwin. Of all the regulations governing sexual behavior, the compulsory chastity of unmarried women proved the single most consequential factor in Unwin's analysis. When society required prenuptial chastity, cultural energy rose. When societies abandoned this requirement, energy measurably declined. And I've just accidentally left a... So there's a third bullet, but I think I accidentally locked it off when I exported my PowerPoint. So on the left here, you can see there's required chastity, rising cultural energy and civilizational achievement. And then when that is, principle is abandoned and you let the free love revolution reign, as per the 1960s, for example, you see declining cultural energy and cultural regression. A society that has lost its focus. He says that there are three cultural conditions. All societies classified three broad conditions, each corresponding to a distinct level of sexual regulation and cultural energy. The first level is the zoistic or the zoistic level. This is the lowest energy. Widespread prenuptial sexual freedom is permitted. And we now live in a zoistic culture, I would argue. Certainly in the 90s when I grew up, if you were still a virgin by the age of 16, you were probably made fun of, right? That's just the reality of the society I grew up in. So Unwin would say that Britain by the 1990s had become zoistic. Then in the medium, you have the maniastic or the manistic, the medium energy, partial restrictions on sexual behavior are observed. And then for the highest energy, you have the dyastic, which is strict prenuptial chastity and absolute monogamy is enforced. And he argues that those are the cultures that will be most dynamic, have most energy, will achieve the greatest things. And as that is reduced, as that strictness on the chastity is reduced, the energy, I mean, to put it a different way, another way of thinking about it is that the energy is literally just being spunked away. That's basically what's happening. It's just being wasted on, you know, getting off with someone down the club, essentially. This pattern, according to Unwin, holds across all cultures. He looked at 80 primitive societies and examined diverse geographies and eras. He looked at six major civilizations, including the Greeks, the Romans, the Babylonians, the Mesopotamians. He looked at 5,000 years of history and an unbroken data set spanning all of recorded human civilization. In every single case examined, Unwin found the same correlation without exception. Every permissive society achieved low cultural energy. Every high energy society consistently restricted sexual opportunity. Sexual liberalization therefore produces decline. This is not hard to see this conclusion coming. And he says that this plays out in three generations, and my own teenage life will become important when we start considering this. In the first generation, which releases sexual regulation, this shifts the norms. Well, from our vantage point, that was the 1960s, the age of free love, the summer of love, the original summer of love, the hippies, the boomers. Second generation, we get a loss of social cohesion and creative drive. Well, that's your Gen Xers. And the third generation, which I'm ashamed to say, I am an older member of the millennials. I am actually a Xennial with an X. We are kind of special little micro generation. which is in itself a kind of millennial joke because it's a very millennial thing to say. We, the third generation, showed measurable cultural energy decline. When a high energy society begins to relax its sexual regulations, abandoning absolute monogamy or prenuptial chastity, a measurable decline in creative and expansive energy follows. The erosion is gradual but cumulative, making it easy to dismiss in its early stages. Now, one of the symbols of this for me personally is the difficulty in mending bridges and in building bridges. During the Victorian age, when they actually had quite tight moral regulation and sexual regulation. Now, granted, there was a kind of sexual underground in Victorian Britain. So I'm not saying they were angels, right? I'm just saying that it was more strictly enforced than it is now. They were closer to Unwin's ideal than now. It was not that difficult for the Victorians to build railways and bridges and huge infrastructure projects and achieve them on a relatively tight budget in a relatively short amount of time. Today, those same projects face escalating costs. They're too difficult to do. They go over budget. They go over time, and everything just seems harder and harder and harder. Now, why is this? Why were the Victorians so much more energetic than the current Britons? Unwin would say it's because of this. It's because of this underlying sexual permissiveness that has crept in, that degrades the energy level in the society. He says the process is irreversible in the short term. Once cultural energy has been lost through sexual liberation, it cannot be rapidly recovered. In other words, once the 60s has happened, it's going to be very difficult for the Gen Xers and the millennials and the Generation Zs and so on, the Zoomers, and the next generation after that, to put the genie back in the bottle. The psychological and social habits of restraint built up over generations take equally long to be rebuilt, if they can be rebuilt at all. Now, I can tell you, academic agent mindset fans, that if you put your mind to it, you yourself can establish the discipline I talked about at the start in 66 days it takes. If you can get through 66 days, you've broken your habit, you've broken the addiction, and you've changed your behavior. Okay, it's that simple. You can do it if you put your mind to it. But is everybody going to do that? Can we count on everybody to do that? Is it without challenge? No. And therefore, because it's not easy, because it's not the easy path, it will not be taken. Why? Because this is a society that is permissive. This is a society that likes to take the easy path, doesn't like taking the difficult path. So even though it can be done, I'm just trying to think now, let's just pretend that you were trying to enforce JD Unwin sexual type laws again, right? I think it would have to start with some sort of kind of nationwide, training process to build up that discipline that I talked about. Okay, that would require, that would require quite a lot. I would say probably an unreasonable amount of state intervention that would be intolerable to most people watching this, for example, and probably also to me. So, yeah, this is he's right. Once it's up and running, it's pretty hard to, once you've taken the train off the rails, it's hard to get back on the tracks. It's going to take equally long to rebuild, if it can be rebuilt at all. The inherited patterns of discipline are a civilizational disposition, grown slowly, lost quickly. They cannot be reinstated as policy, because it requires each and every person to have that discipline. How are you going to like it? Right, and now we're at the stage where, I mean, somebody like me, I've got particular strengths, and I've got, you know, I've been able to develop the ability to instill discipline. But you can't count on everybody doing that, and you can't make them do it either. So it's kind of a catch-22. So yeah, I would say Unwin is probably right that the process is irreversible. In, you know, in the round, in the society wide, although I would still encourage you as a personal individual to do your best to embody the practices I've talked about. The equality of sexes under restraint. Unwin observed that the highest cultural achievements occurred when both sexes were subject to the same strict sexual regulations. That is, both men and women were held to the same standard. His argument centered on equal limitation. The same constraints apply to men and women alike as a shared condition of civilizational flourishing. No good having a double standard. No good saying sex before marriage for women, right? No sex before marriage for women, but men, you know, you can get your leg over. That's no good. That was going to create problems in and of itself. Has to be the same. Asymmetric regulation consistently produced lower energy than systematic restraint. And it stands to reason. It stands to reason because if the man does not abide by the sex before marriage, his energy, right, to the no sex before marriage, his energy is being lost. Okay, it's not being lost on a wife. It's being lost on some floozy he's with. But it's the same principle. And because he thinks he can get it whenever he wants it, his impetus, his creative drive has been stifled. I am suggesting, by the way, that pornography or masturbation creates the same effect, because the your body, your brain, your subconscious mind cannot actually differentiate. It just thinks, well, I've been sexually gratified now. It's been fulfilled. And because it's been fulfilled, you don't have that energy, that spark, that drive, well, it's gone. Mutual discipline rather than hierarchy was the key variable. So in this respect, equality under the law was very important. Equal application of the law. He says prosperity, when a culture gets rich, when a culture starts getting decadent, tends to undermine restraint. As societies grow more prosperous and secure, the perceived necessity of strict sexual regulation weakens. Comfort erodes the collective will to maintain discipline. Unwin identified prosperity itself as a latent threat. It makes sexual liberalization more tempting and its immediate costs less visible, even as the long-term cultural cost compounds. Okay, so this is a paradox. You could call it the prosperity paradox. The very success that high energy societies generate becomes the condition that undermines the restraint responsible for that success. Let's take our Victorians that we were just talking about. The Victorians, through a mixture of industry, ingenuity, conquest, adventurism, you know, gunboat diplomacy and empire, right, through a mixture of all of those things, created great prosperity. And they created a system, a prosperity machine, also inherited by America. They actually made other nations richer as well. And America also prospered through its set, you know, when the corn laws were relaxed in the 19th century, the major beneficiaries were American farmers who now got to basically feed the British Empire. So the British Empire was marched on the grain of the Americans. Historical detail that often goes missing. So America also grew up, like prospered at the same time as the British Empire prospered. It was coming up, okay, and then it was in a good place to become the next global empire after that. But let us take you back to now the 1920s, the roaring 20s, and Cole Porter's Anything Goes. How did it go? Times have changed. When the Puritans got the shock, landed on Plymouth Rock. Yeah, glimpse of stocking was thought of as something shocking. Things have changed, anything goes. Right, so you understand the point. Cole Porter was pointing to a change that happened in the Roaring Twenties, that after a time of great prosperity, the 19th century, the Victorian era, the Americans had a very good, late, the Gilded Age as it was known, after this time of wealth, growth, you got sexual liberation. You got a relaxation of the sexual mores. And that's what that Cole Porter song, Anything Goes, captured. Sorry for my kind of mucked up rendition. I got the words wrong and so on. I'm going to be kicking myself. People will be making fun of me, but it's all right. I'm a big boy. And then you've got a kind of back. There was a kind of a reversion after the 1920s. So by the time of the 1950s, you know, there was a kind of an attempt to kind of reel it back in, a reeling of it back in. But then it came again much more explosively in the 1960s. But what happened in the middle of the 1920s and the 1950s? Well, the Wall Street crash, the Great Depression, two world wars, a great kind of hit in material wealth for most people. Rationing here in Blighty, a great hardship on the continent where a lot of the war took place. So in real material terms, prosperity declined between 1929 and the 1950s. And then after the war, prosperity came back up again, which then coincided with the 1960s. So you can see, as prosperity goes up, sexual laxness increases. As prosperity goes down, there's a kind of reeling back in. These two things kind of go hand in hand. And Unwin would say that is not a mistake. It is an unfortunate side effect of prosperity. What are the modern implications of all of this? The sexual revolution of the 20th century, by dramatically increasing sexual opportunity and weakening both prenuptial chastity and lifelong monogamy, has, according to Unwin's framework, set Western societies on a well-documented path. The historical precedent is that this was the thing that brought down empires. It brought down the Roman Empire. It brought down multiple Persian empires. The legendary Persian decadence brought down empires. Every prior civilization that followed this trajectory experienced a decline in creative and expansive power within three generations. And the price is predictable. Unwin held that the loss of cultural energy is a measurable, predictable consequence of sexual liberation as documented across 5,000 years. And if the West thinks that it can outrun this, well, it can't. That's what Unwin would say. And here we are in 2026, where we're surrounded by narratives of decline. We're surrounded by governments promising to bring the good times back, to make America great again, or recently Andy Burnham, you know, promising to take us back to the 1970s. Because we're not actually a forward-looking, energetic, expansive, right? I mean, let's just think for a second of the difference in energy, of the difference in energy between that and, let us say, Walter Raleigh, I want to go and explore. I want to go and discover the new world. I want to bring tobacco to England. Or, you know, I've got books down here. I've got a book, one of these folio books is The Source of the Nile. Well, in the Victorian age, there was rumors that, you know, it was possible now to find the source of the Nile. And this became a massive craze all across Europe as people wanted to find the source of the legendary River Nile. Okay. And it was not unheard of for people to just drop what they were doing. Right, I'm off to Africa. What are you doing? Gonna go and find the Nile. Just to get up, I'm just going. What for? I want to see it. I want to be the man to discover it. I'm off. Think of the difference in energy between that and Andy Burnham promising to bring the post-war consensus back. It's just, it's night and day. And so, you know, it's very observable what I'm really saying here. It really is very observable. And I've not even got into things like birth rates or what sexual freedom has done to the sexual marketplace, what it's done to reproduction and to marriage and all of these other things. That is a topic for another video. It's actually going to be tomorrow's video, where I'm going to be looking at F. Roger Devlin, who is a much, I think F. Roger Devlin is still alive. He's a contemporary writer who has looked at some of these things. We're going to be getting into that. Let me know what you make of Unwin. It was a controversial thesis, but as time, as so many of these thinkers, as time has gone on, the facts seem to have borne him out. That was J.D. Unwin. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency, and I'll see you all tomorrow. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.